What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in, Fox Sports Radio Studios, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. As well, your car's needs now come with a reward with the AutoZone Rewards Program. Spend $20 five times and earn a $20 reward. So sign up today. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Well, Daryl Morey, the Houston Rockets GM, is definitely in the zone right now. The Golden State Warriors drove most of the NBA crazy as they dominated en route to their title this year. They went 16-1 in the playoffs, 15-1 down the stretch. Their only loss in the regular season was a game to the Utah Jazz in their final 16 games where they did not start everyone. An incredible stat for you. The last game the Golden State Warriors lost in the regular season where they started all four of their big four was in early February before the Super Bowl against the Sacramento Kings on the road in overtime. Think about how insane that stat is. The Golden State Warriors last year lost one game from February to the end of the NBA season when they started Kevin Durant, when they started Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry. That has driven everyone in the NBA crazy, because I think as wild as you and I might have believed this 16-1 run was, it doesn't even come close to how blown away by that success the NBA was. And so as a result, what's happened? What is amazing is that most teams have almost just curled up in the fetal position and said, well, we're not going to beat the Warriors. So far, the only team that has really made an aggressive play to try to overtake the Warriors is the Houston Rockets. Got to give them credit. The Houston Rockets went and signed Chris Paul yesterday, bringing an end to the LA Clippers' attempt to be relevant in the city of Los Angeles. The result, I believe, is that Blake Griffin is going to leave. they may go ahead and try to get rid of DeAndre Jordan as well and just start all over again. And if you're a Clippers fan, you hoped that finally there was going to be some light at the end of the tunnel. Well, there was a light at the end of the tunnel, except it was a train and it just ran over you. Condolences on that. As a result, the Rockets are trying to do everything they can to go get Paul George and attempt to put together Chris Paul, James Harden, and Paul George, which would create another super team in the NBA, at least for a season, and potentially give the Warriors a challenge. Meanwhile, the Cleveland Cavaliers are sitting off on the side. Reports were that Dan Gilbert tried to get LeBron James to sign off on the idea of trading Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James wouldn't do it. And so as a result, the Cleveland Cavaliers are done. LeBron James is going to leave. Where will he go? Maybe in a war. In the best case scenario, it's not future Lakers. It's future Clippers. Who knows exactly what's going to happen? Where will Carmelo Anthony end up? Where will Paul George end up? Will Gordon Hayward and Blake Griffin both end up leaving their teams as well? DeAndre Jordan. There's so much drama right now in the in the NBA, that you can't possibly compare it to the regular season. The NBA free agency is infinitely better than the NBA regular season because there's so much more uncertainty associated with the NBA right now. All sorts of fans have a lot of excitement all rolled up into seeing where all these different players are going to go. We have some sound here. I want to hear this. Danny G, I'm going to trust you to knock this out. This is the Rockets trying to talk about their moves.
You know, it's a guards-based league. It's a weapons race in the NBA, and you're either in the weapons race or on the sidelines. And felt like this is, with James Harden in his prime and Chris Paul in his prime, this gives us a real shot to chase, you know, the juggernaut teams that are out there and puts us right there with them. I think once you're close, and especially chasing these super teams out there that we're trying to join, you have to keep your resources dry to keep improving the team.
I love the moves by Daryl Morey. I don't think you can in any way fault him on being one of the very few NBA guys out there so far who has seen the Golden State Warriors' dominance and said, I want to challenge that. Because it seems like a lot of teams right now are saying, I don't want to challenge that. We're just going to have to wait it out. Even the Celtics won the East last year. We'll see whether they can get their deals worked out. But so far, Danny Ainge seems to be saying, you know what? I don't really want to step up and try to challenge the Warriors. I'm comfortable with being one of the top four or five teams. Let's just hang out here for a little while. Mike D'Antoni also reacted to the addition of Chris Paul. Here's what he had to say.
It's a little bit like the USA basketball or like Durant going to Golden State. You can sit around all day and say, why that wouldn't work. Well, guess what? It does, because they want it to work. And I know James and Chris want it to work. And that's all it takes.
Because that's the biggest question most skeptics of this trade immediately had, was James Harden loves having the ball in his hands at all times. And now you're going to add in Chris Paul, who clearly wants the ball in his hands at all times. Now, these guys lobbied for this trade to happen. Now they're trying to work on Paul George to get him there. In the ongoing NBA drama that exists, there's also Instagram wars going on. And it appears that at least if you buy into what's going on, maybe with Paul George, Isaiah Thomas seemed to suggest that Paul George was gone and potentially coming to the Celtics on Instagram. I mean, it's all a big game of telephone right now. Somebody whispers in somebody's ear. Next thing you know, there's a total different rumor that has worked its way all the way down. The biggest winner yesterday may well have been Phil Jackson, because as soon as the trade was made between Chris Paul and the Clippers and the Rockets, all the Phil Jackson news completely disappeared. I will bring in the crew to talk about this trade. On the flip side, I'll also open up the phone lines, 877-996-6369. If you were listening to the way the show ended yesterday, you also know that we were having a pretty awesome discussion about the absurdity of California's new law, which would ban travel, state-sponsored travel, to 8 different states. And I wanted to be able to discuss that some more, as well as the Supreme Court's decision on gambling and why I believe by next year many of you in many different states that are listening to us right now will legally be able to go out and place a bet on the outcome of basically any game that's going on anywhere. Sports gambling is going to be legal. And so those are big stories that have a little bit of a legal tint to them. So I'm going to put my lawyer hat on. But I was encouraged by the response that we had yesterday in the final hour, and we didn't finish really talking about that. So we got all three of those subjects to chase down, plus incredible Tebow watch coming for you today. As Tim Tebow has now started at single A, what did he do in his first at-bat in single A? He homered. That's what Tim Tebow does. So we'll discuss that and also the quality game that he had to begin his climb, because I really do believe this. I believe that Tim Tebow is going to play in New York for the Mets by the end of this season. He's going to become a Major League Baseball player. Are there a lot of people out there who were doubters of Tim Tebow's pursuit of baseball that are starting to have second thoughts? I think it's fair to say at this point that Tebow has been much better in baseball than Michael Jordan was. If you want to compare another iconic athlete who ended up going to go play baseball, Tim Tebow's performance so far has been much better than Michael Jordan's performance was. And Jordan, I think, made it up to double A before all was said and done. We'll talk about that and more. 877-996-6369. You guys can weigh in if you would like. Thanks for hanging out. And this is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Big news of the day. Chris Paul to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets furiously trying to put together enough salary cap space to make a move to add a third big addition. Houston is one of the great underrated sports cities in America where it's been almost all futility, but for a couple of years when Michael Jordan decided to go play baseball, aka was suspended by David Stern for gambling on the game. Now, if that doesn't happen, the Bulls win 8 straight titles. And the city of Houston, I believe I'm correct in this, would have no titles to its name. Am I correct in that? I think I'm correct in that. And everybody would probably think of Houston still the most for the collapse of the Houston Oilers, a team that would later move to Nashville in the game on the road against Buffalo when Frank Wright came in and brought him back from a 35-3 deficit, I think it was. That is a sad sports town. Now, I know the Astros are playing really well right now, and I know that the Texans have been pretty decent past several years, if you especially if you don't think about the quarterback position, because everywhere else they've been pretty solid. They just have been awful at quarterback. With Deshaun Watson coming in, probably going to supplant Tom Savage at some point, with Chris Paul coming to town, and with the Astros on fire, maybe it's Houston's year. Maybe they're finally going to kick that awful sports town futility to the curb. Make a run with the Texans, keep up the run with the Astros, and maybe now the Rockets are out here to try to serve notice and say, hey, we're the second best team in the NBA if we can add one more piece. We were third in the West last year. We went and got Chris Paul. James Harden's going to be fresher at the end of the season. We're not going to get humiliated like we did in Game 6 by the Spurs when we lost by 175 points. I think it was about that, maybe a little bit off on that number, even though they didn't have Kawhi Leonard. I think they're making a case that they're going to be the second best team in the NBA. And more importantly, they may be the only NBA team that saw the dominance of the Golden State Warriors and said, we want to challenge that. Because I think everybody else said, man, you telling me the Warriors went 31-2 in their final 33 games? You telling me the last game the Warriors lost with all four of their big four starting was Super Bowl week? The first week in February is the last time this team lost other than game four of the NBA Finals when the Cavs put together one of the greatest offensive performances in the history of the game. That's the only game they lost. with all four of their starters out there. That's an insane statistic that doesn't get enough attention. So is there enough possibility of what the Rockets are putting together to challenge the Golden State Warriors? The NBA offseason may be entertaining, but is it all a lot of noise that doesn't change anything? The Rockets' odds to win the title so far have dropped from 25-1 to 16-1, according to our buddies at Odd Shark. Is it possible that if they go get Paul George, they become the clear default number two, bumping Cleveland aside, even though Cleveland's in the East and would still get to advance to the NBA Finals? Would that make the NBA Western Conference Finals the default NBA championship? Bring in the crew. Jason Martin, is this going to make the Rockets, if they can go get a third weapon? Well, first of all, a couple questions. Do you think this changes things substantially, even if they don't get a third weapon? And do you believe they can go out and get a Paul George or maybe a Blake Griffin, who knows, and get a third big name to be able to make a real run at the Warriors dynasty?
It makes a big difference. Looking at the passing statistics for last year, when everybody talks about and tries to figure out whether or not these two players and Chris Paul and James Harden can coexist, James Harden was third in the league. He made an average of 66.6 passes per game last year. Chris Paul was fourth in the league, made 64. Now, Chris Paul's always been more certainly willing to be an assist guy when necessary and only score when he has to, and he can score in bunches. And James Harden was required to go out there and score a lot. He also received 81.9 passes a game, which was number one in the league by a long shot. But can they coexist? Yeah, they can. We don't know yet because we haven't seen it. The question is what this means for the Warriors. If they get Paul George, they've got Chris Paul, and they've got Paul George, who are two pretty daggone good defenders, and they've got James Harden, who remains a pretty bad defender, although he did improve in categories this past season. The difference is the Golden State Warriors proved that their brand of basketball is 100% selfless, unless you think Klay Thompson's upset on the sidelines, which I believed he would be before the season, and I still think he wishes he was in a better situation. But they passed the ball constantly. They made the extra pass. They found the open guy. Whoever was hot, they went to it. Curry wouldn't score for a quarter and a half, and Durant would go off, or Draymond would go off, or Klay would go off. They always had somebody to go to. Harden changed the way he played. He was not anywhere near as selfish a player last year as the season before. James Harden and Chris Paul also have another thing in common, which is futility in the postseason. James Harden made it to the NBA Finals once with the Oklahoma City Thunder and proceeded to lay an egg in three consecutive games and make it real clear that Miami was going to win that series by the way he played alone. Chris Paul, in 6 years with the Clippers, never got out of the second round, and in the last 3 years didn't get out of the first round. So these guys, maybe they come together and maybe their Voltron can put them through. I like both guys. But James Harden, after watching him last year, watching his act disappearing in that game where I basically obliterated him on this very show for about 4 minutes the day after, and so did you, we're going to have to wait and see. But if you're Daryl Morey, what other choice did you have? Chris Paul made it clear, apparently, if you read the reports, he told the Clippers he was not happy with what was going on and he was gone. So,
in particular, he said, I mean, if you read some of these reports, that he didn't like the playing for Doc Rivers and based on his relationship with Austin Rivers. I mean, this sounds like there was a lot of discord covered up, because to Chris Paul's credit, I don't remember any stories being written about him being unhappy with the Clippers, because this would have been a huge talking point. Oh, Chris Paul's 100% going to leave the Clippers if any of this stuff had come out. And it didn't come out until he was ready to leave.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then there was talk that the Clippers weren't sure they wanted to give him so much money when he would be 37 in the last year of his contract. Well, what the Clippers have done now is return to the Clippers that you and I remember from the time when we were growing up, where it was Michael Olowokandi or bust. Like, there was nobody out there playing basketball that anybody cared about at all. Corey Maggette, who last was seen performing in front of Ice Cube on Fox Sports 1 a couple of days ago. But look, the Clippers, they did what they had to do, but it's over. I think Blake Griffin, unless he's an idiot, should try and leave. I don't know where exactly fits best for him, but if he stays there, he knows he's not going to win, because they're not going to have enough to put around him. They put Lou Williams and they put Patrick Beverley and some of these role players that they got. Maybe they'll move some of them. I don't know. But you look at this and you see, yes, this is definitely looks like a two-man race in the West. As long as James Harden and Chris Paul can coexist the way I think both adults probably can, if they both want to win. And you imagine that if CP3 is making a move right now, it's so he can win a ring. He doesn't want to go. He's not going to. He's going to try and create a super team, be a part of a new super team, as opposed to joining one that already exists. So he joins an MVP candidate in the backcourt. If they get Paul George, they have three guys that can score. They have three guys that can get their own shot. And that's really, really interesting. And I do think it's good for the NBA. We discussed earlier this week the four moves that would make sense for the NBA that would help the NBA, giving them another team. This is one of them, although we didn't say Houston. But he stays in the state of Texas. He goes to a team with another superstar. Would have been Kawhi in San Antonio. Here it's James Harden in Houston. And all of a sudden, Houston versus Golden State becomes, you know, front row must-see appointment television. And that's good for the NBA. They needed this.
One of the first things I thought about when I saw this Chris Paul trade was, obviously, to me, that means Blake Griffin's gone from the Clippers as well, which would mean that DeAndre Jordan is left behind. And if you remember all of the drama last offseason, right? Wasn't it last year? When DeAndre Jordan, everything runs together, but I think it was last year when DeAndre Jordan decided to join the Clippers again after first saying that he would become a Dallas Maverick, is that DeAndre Jordan is going to be left behind on an awful team after they persuaded him and spent so much time telling him, you better be sure that you re-up, you don't want to leave the Clippers, man, we're going to do something special. And instead, they get there and they add DeAndre Jordan, and now I think he's going to be the last major player left with the Clippers. And so I wonder, on some level, do the Clippers just say screw it and go try to trade and get some value for DeAndre Jordan? I mean, I don't know. I mean, are they going to be like, well, you got to definitely keep him, so let's get 20 wins? Or do they think, let's go for bust, go ahead and clean out everybody, and then next year we'll have a ton of space when LeBron and everybody else becomes a free agent? Maybe then the decision will be, can we persuade LeBron to come to the Clippers instead of coming to the Lakers? Go to L.A. Danny G., what do you think about that? Do you think there's any possibility at all? We've talked a lot about future Lakers. If the cap space is all cleared and the Clippers have basically nobody left, because I think Blake Griffin's going to leave now, and if I'm the Clippers, I might sit around and say, let's go ahead and get rid of DeAndre Jordan, clear all players off the decks, and become an insanely active free agent mover in 2018. Is there any way that they can make a run if LeBron really wants to be in LA, if they had all this cap space, that they could make a run at LeBron? I mean, because that, at this point in time, if I am the Clippers and I have lost Chris Paul and I'm probably going to lose Blake Griffin and I'm only going to have DeAndre Jordan, then I almost 100% have to look towards the future. And the only thing that makes anything worthwhile is all the salary cap room, in theory, I could have to try to persuade LeBron and a couple of other players potentially to come play for me after 2018.
You know, the first thing I think of when you ask that question is that LeBron might be a little too vain to put a Clippers jersey
on. That's the question, right? I mean, there's such a downward spiral of a comparison between the brand. It's like LeBron going from Nike to like a Chinese shoe company, right? They may have more money.
The money is there. But at that point in his career, I mean, he is thinking about ownership of a team or a small ownership down the line. But is he going to want to own a piece of a team where now people close to him supposedly are saying that he hates the Clippers brand? And it goes back to Donald Sterling and everything that the Clippers unfortunately stood for when they were on their very downslope here in Los Angeles. So they have a horrible past, and I think that plays into the future. I do not see LeBron ever putting on a Clippers jersey.
Now, to be fair, the guy who has to be sitting around saying this is awful is Stephen Ballmer, right? He did everything he could to replace Donald Sterling. He put up $2.1 billion to buy the Clippers. He's gone all in, former Microsoft CEO. He's gone all in with trying to become make them a really big-time franchise, and now he may lose all of his assets. That's got to be really tough for him, and he's a smart business guy, so I would think there has to be a method to the madness right now for the Clippers. What that is, I don't know, but there has to be something. It can't just be we finally reached the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a train that ran over us. All right, we will open up the phone lines, 877-996-6369. This is Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. Going to dive back into that California law, which bans travel to eight different states. If you missed yesterday's final hour, which eight states are state-sponsored teams not able to go to right now. UCLA, Cal, UC Santa Barbara, all these different California schools, Fresno State, any state university in California right now potentially not able to travel to play games based on a new California law. You're not going to believe this if you haven't heard me talk about it yet. The state of California has made a ridiculously absurd decision that has all sorts of sports implications. We'll talk about that next. But first, let's find out what's trending.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Welcome back, Fox Sports Radio Studios, brought to you by Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. Also, your car's needs now come with a reward with the AutoZone Rewards Program. Spend $20 five times and earn a $20 reward. So sign up today. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Really love that Peyton Manning playing for the Patriots. We are playing right now a couple of different questions. One, we have a poll question up right now. Poll question. Was it racist for J-Mart to get Festus Ezeli and Kenneth Faried mixed up? Early votes, 67% of you say no. You're buying his, they both have an F in their name, excuse. Is that the best excuse you can come up with?
I just had it mixed up. I did put up a deal where last year they were talking about a move that would have gotten Faried to Golden State. And when you look at it, one of the worst trades of all time would have been Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, and Sean Livingston going to Denver for Kenneth Faried and two other guys. Like, it was clearly done, I guess, to try and clear the deck. So maybe that's what I was thinking. I just got the two of those guys mixed up. There's just no other way around it.
It's because you're racist. Okay. Everything's racist. Everything's racist day. Don't try to defend yourself. You're racist. We are then spiraled into the Denver Nuggets are trying to make a trade for Blake Griffin. And I realize that I know none of the Denver Nuggets. And it also brought to mind the Denver Nuggets, like, they aren't so bad that you're like, man, the Denver Nuggets suck. So you kind of pay attention to how bad they are. And they aren't ever any good, so you never pay attention to how, you know, good they are. They're like the perpetual five on a scale of 1 to 10. The most average team in the NBA. And so we pulled their roster up, and I'm looking through their roster right now, and I know none of these dudes hardly. I mean, I know, like, Mike Miller, who has been in the league since, you know, 1946. I know, anyway, I'm not even going to give you any more of their names, but Jameer Nelson. Jameer Nelson, who is roughly my age, I think. He's been around forever. Like, only the long-term veterans. I know a couple of these guys, and I don't even know how much they play. But so we're right now, we got a couple more games here. We are playing head of state or current head of state. Oh, yeah, there's the music. Current head of state or current Denver Nugget. And let's go to Alexander. There we go. Country Roads. It's a great song. Went to a wedding in West Virginia. That's all they did. They just played this song over and over again. I think a strong argument here. Country Roads defines West Virginia more than any song that exists in the country. Can you think of another song that, like, maybe you could think Rocky Top with Tennessee? Country Roads with West Virginia, where when you're in the state, you just feel like if they're playing a song and it's not Country Roads, that they're wasting their lives. Can you guys go around the horn?
Come on, man. Sweet Home Alabama.
Oh, Sweet Home Alabama.
You guys are way off on this one.
No, wait, hold on. That's right. If I had to rank them, I would say probably Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah, do you think, though, like when I go, but see, it's a good question. Like when I was in West Virginia, I was like, I expect for Country Roads to be played, but I don't hear that song very many other places. Whereas Sweet Home Alabama is insanely popular, at least all over the South. Like, when it comes on in a bar, everybody loves it. So I don't think of it as almost – does that make sense? I guess what I'm saying is you expect to hear it in that state, but it's not necessarily popular nationwide. Like, Sweet Home Alabama is insanely popular nationwide. I guarantee you that all 50 states that are listening to us right now, if you go out to bars, like, Sweet Home Alabama has come on. Like, I've been all over the country – in bars, and Sweet Home Alabama comes on and people like it. Same thing to a certain extent with Rocky Top, although I think Rocky Top is more closely defined with Tennessee than Sweet Home Alabama is with Alabama. But Country Roads, I don't think you hear it anywhere, right? Like, it's not like you're in a bar and Country Roads really comes on very often. So when I'm in West Virginia, I think of Country Roads, and it's played there at like a higher rate. You got another one?
What about Frank Sinatra in New York?
Yeah, that's good.
That's I mean, or the modern Jay-Z version.
Yes,
I mean,
or,
both of those.
Or Empire State of Mind, yes.
Yeah, but I would say both of those are so popular that you don't necessarily think, like I don't think of that as only playing in New York.
Danny, if you go with Randy Newman,
no.
You're off this
Are you
going to
go with Tupac?
You got it. You got it. You could tell you used to
California
be a radio
love.
DJ.
Okay.
California Love.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't think it's comparable to some of these others, but it's all right.
I mean, it's so much earlier in California Love. When did California Love come out? Like 1995 or 6 or something?
Yeah.
Something like that? I mean, so that song is relatively young compared to Sweet Home Alabama, compared to Country Roads. And, like, that's a good poll question. Which of those songs? Like, to me, Country Roads more defines West Virginia, even though, like, none of the geography makes sense. Supposedly that, you know, like, the Blue Ridge Mountains are in Virginia. Shenandoah Valley's in Virginia. Like, none of it makes sense. They just, like, put West Virginia on it if you're actually looking at the geography of the song. But the song itself, like, I feel like when you're in West Virginia, you expect that song to be playing. Whereas when I'm in Alabama, and I'm Alabama a decent amount, I don't expect to walk into a bar and hear Sweet Home Alabama.
What about Dropkick Murphys in Boston?
I don't even know what that is.
I'm shipping up to Boston.
No, don't know that song.
You don't know that song? The Departed?
I mean, I might have heard it. The Dropkick Murphys are those guys who just always sound like they're like, you know, it's like a Conor McGregor bar fight, right?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah,
you'd know the song immediately if you heard it.
But no, but I don't define that with that particular location. I think California Love is up there if you're younger. But I don't think that it is anywhere near Country Roads. All right, anyway, I'm going to go back to my game. You can also weigh in on that. And we still have to get to this major constitutional crisis that California has brought to bear. Is everybody still there? Is Alexander in Texas still the next one up, Jason Martin?
Yes, he is.
All right, Alexander in Texas, your question. Alexander, are you with us?
Yeah.
Are you about to get hit by a train?
No, I'm delivering newspapers.
Oh, man, I like it. I love it. All right, here we go. Juan Hernandez Gomez, is he a head of state or a Denver Nugget?
He's a head of state. I know there's a Hernan Gomez on the Knicks, but I think he's a head of state.
All right, you think that Juan Hernandez Gomez is a head of state, and you are wrong. He is a forward for the Denver Nuggets. He is from Spain. He averaged 4.9 points per game and 3 rebounds and a half of an assist, Juan Hernando Gomez. So what do we, like, the Outkick army
one
out there
two.
Is 1-2. Should we do a couple more, or do you think, let's go to Brad in Jacksonville. Brad, you ready?
Yes, sir.
You just like an expert on NBA rosters? You know everybody, forward, backward, everything else?
Not the Denver Nuggets.
All right, here we go. Nikola Jokic, head of state or Denver Nugget?
I'll go with a Nugget.
Why are you guessing a Nugget? Oh, you got to give me a chance. You had no idea, did you?
Well, sorry about that. Well, he actually had a great season.
He's
in
the star
news.
Of the team,
yeah.
Clay. He's the star of the team. And by the way, you call me racist. It's not Hernandez Gomez. It's Hernan Gomez. Just because he's Mexican and Spanish doesn't mean Hernandez has to be in his name.
Hernan Gomez? What did I say his name was?
Hernandez Gomez. Like there was some kind of like hyphen between those two things.
I read it as Hernandez Gomez. That might be
racist.
Because I'm racist. I might be because I'm racist against Mexican people. But he's Spanish, so that would be racist against Spanish people. You can't be racist against Europeans. That's a rule. Europeans. I mean, he's just a white dude from Europe. You can't be racist against white dudes from Europe. So he didn't even know. So, like, and by the way,
that was a gimme.
You interjected in the middle, Jason Martin, like you interjected in the middle of the question.
No, I didn't. Danny did, and I just backed him up because Jokic is the actual star of that team.
Well, I played the sound effect when he, you know, got it right. I just figured that was kind of a gimme. That's all.
All right, so we just want to end it.
I mean, he averaged 16.7 and 9 last year. Well, 17 and 10, actually. It was 16.7 and 9.8.
Where's he from?
He is from Serbia.
All right.
You need second to break the pro. Tie. It's 2 and 2.
All right,
2
to 2. Yep. This is like game 5. This is like the biggest game in the Nuggets' history as a franchise. Game 5. This is like the Sonics against the Nuggets back in whatever it was, 1994. Only time the Denver Nuggets have ever been relevant. All right, here we go. Let me find a name here. Do we have it? Who are we going to, Jason Martin?
We're going to Travis in Maryland.
Travis in Maryland. Pull up Travis in Maryland. And I'm going to find a name. I'm looking both rosters, scanning the list of heads of state. I've got to decide who am I going to go with? Which one am I going to give him? All right, I'm ready, I believe. All right, here we go. Travis in Maryland, your name, Fernando Zavala, Denver Nugget or head of state?
What?
Fernando Zavala, Denver Nugget or head of state?
Oh, God.
All right, work your way through here. Work your way through here. What is your immediate thought when you hear Fernando Zavala? Do you think big-time playmaker, or do you think head of state? What's your initial thought?
I hear Fernando. I think baseball player, Fernando Rodney. I think Fernando Alonso, the auto racer. But there's no way there's an NBA player named Fernando. I'm going to go with head of state.
So you're going, there's no way there's an NBA player named Fernando. That's your breakdown here. You're just like, the Fernando, once you're named Fernando, you have no chance to play in the NBA.
Yeah, I think of a couple other athletes, but not NBA players, so I'm just going to go head of state. And can I add something to the song discussion when we're done with two?
Yeah, all right, so let's go. Are the Denver Nuggets going to win Game 5? Yes. Yes, they are. You're correct. Fernando Zavala is the Prime Minister of Peru. And hopefully Fernando and his family are listening today. Big time playmaking for Fernando in America. All right, so yeah, the song discussion. What were you going to add?
I got two. What about Born on the Bayou and All My Exes Live in Texas?
All right, All My Exes Live in Texas I don't see as a Texas song. One that we should have mentioned that is city specific is, was it Baton Rouge? I mean, like LSU, if you're in an LSU game, they play the Baton Rouge. My guy Paul Pabst is also, he'll be on Dan Patrick's show next for a lot of you, and they probably won't be playing Denver Nugget or country leader. But he says anything by Bruce Springsteen in New Jersey. Does he have specific, like New Jersey? I know nothing about Bruce Springsteen. I'll just be honest with you, like literally zero. Didn't he sing Born in the USA? I think that's the only song that Bruce Springsteen sings that I would know.
Born in the USA, Thunder Road, Glory Days. He's pretty much tied to New Jersey. All of his songs are about some drifter who's like disenchanted with the American spirit, finding some car at midnight and driving through with a lantern. Like almost all of his stuff is basically
that's a really
the same.
Detailed explanation of Bruce Springsteen. You blow it on Kenneth Faried versus Festus Ezeli, and Bruce Springsteen gets brought up, and you turn into Walt Whitman all of a sudden. all right. That was the first time that we have played. We may play this game every now and then. Head of state or Denver Nugget. Won't always be the Denver Nuggets, but that's a sign of how anonymous the Denver Nuggets are. By the way, the Denver Nugget roster, in case you're wondering, in case you're sitting out there like, who is actually on the Denver Nuggets? I have no idea. Daryl Arthur, Will Barton, Malik Beasley, Vlatko Kankar, Wilson Chandler, Roy Hibbert, Juan Hernan Gomez, not Hernandez Gomez, as I inadvertently called him.
Racist.
Gary Harris, Danilo Gallinari. Did he ever turn out to be any good?
Oh, yeah, he's pretty good. He's played pretty well. He's been there since the Carmelo trade.
Really? Man.
Yeah, that's when he got moved from the Knicks. He was part of that deal.
Kenneth Faried. Again, update on whether or not Jason Martin is racist for getting those two guys mixed up. So far, J-Mart, you're not racist, which is surprising to me because everything's racist. 68% of them are defending you and saying that is not racist to get fested. They're buying your argument that they both have Fs in their name, and therefore you couldn't be expected to know the difference between two black men. Nikola Jokic, Tyler Lydon, Trey Lyles, Mike Miller, seriously, how many years has Mike Miller been in the league now? 17 years.
I was actually saying that here in the studio. I'm like, man, it might be time to go to the house for Mike Miller. Mike Miller was playing basketball, I think, before I took my first breath. In the NBA, I mean. I can't remember a time in which Mike Miller didn't play in the NBA.
17 years Mike Miller in the NBA. I didn't know he was on the Nuggets last year. Monty Morris, you know, I love the Monty Morris picture. Like, they can't even get him. Did he just get drafted this year?
Is his first season. Yes.
Okay, that's why they're in these black polos. That's why they're in these awkward black polos. All right, Emmanuel Moutier.
Australian.
Jamal Murray, Jameer Nelson. I remember Jameer Nelson. Jameer Nelson has been in the league a long time, too, 13 years.
He was in the NBA Finals with Orlando when Dwight Howard, that year, he came back from the injury, and they put Skip DeMailu on the bench, and that's why they lost to the Lakers, Danny G.
They made the Finals?
Yes, they made the Finals. Remember, it was the Lakers and the Orlando Magic, and they made a move. Stan Van Gundy made a move before the NBA Finals started because Nelson had been hurt. And Rafer Alston was playing really, really well, and they had a ton of chemistry, and they put Rafer Alston on the bench and put Nelson back on the floor for the first time in game one of the NBA Finals, and the chemistry completely fell apart, and they
lost
that series.
I would have lost a lot of money. The only NBA Finals I remember the Magic being in is when Nick Anderson missed four straight free throws. They've been in the Finals twice?
Yeah, this was, like 2009, I think it was? That was the season? Yeah.
I must have been drunk for that whole month. I don't remember that game at all. Mason Plumlee. Also, that's the Denver Nuggets roster. Okay, I teased it like an hour ago. I'm going to dive back into this stupid California law, and who could you not trust more? Or who could you trust more than me, the guy who just broke down the Denver Nuggets roster versus head of states, to tell you why the state of California has passed one of the dumbest laws in the history of our republic? We will discuss next, because it impacts UCLA, Cal, all state-sponsored travel, for football, for basketball, for any sport. We'll talk about that next. I'm Clay Travis. You're listening to Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, Bobby Bones down the hallway. He's got a really popular show. He's taking issue with my power rankings of songs that define a state. My top three, unquestioned top three. Number one, Country Roads in West Virginia. Number two, Rocky Top in Tennessee. Number three, Sweet Home Alabama in Alabama. Now, let me explain. Bobby Bones coming at me, and he's a music guy, so I might lose this battle. But he's coming at me. He says, don't be a homer. Sweet Home Alabama, bigger than Rocky Top for sure, and probably even Country Roads. Now, my argument here is not what's bigger. Sweet Home Alabama is clearly the biggest of those three songs. But Sweet Home Alabama is so popular that you hear it anywhere, and you like it, right? Like, you could go into right now a bar in Wyoming, assuming that it was open. Let's say a bar in Wyoming is opening at noon. You could walk into bar in Wyoming and Sweet Home Alabama would be playing and people would like that song in that bar in Wyoming. What I'm using as an example is a song that you almost exclusively would hear in that state. Like, I go around the country everywhere. If I'm in Shellback in Manhattan Beach out drinking, it's not a surprise if Sweet Home Alabama might come on in that bar and people would like it. Rocky Top, less likely. Certainly Country Roads is not coming on in that bar. So that is the way I'm defining it. Country Roads, if you were in a West Virginia bar, would come on 100% and everybody would love it. Does that make sense? If you go to a wedding this weekend, there's a decent chance that Sweet Home Alabama is going to be played, right? If they're playing popular songs, it wouldn't be insanely improbable that Sweet Home Alabama gets played because everybody knows that everybody likes it. If Rocky Top or Country Roads got played, everybody would be kind of surprised. If it were not in Tennessee or somebody graduating who's getting married from Tennessee. Like, when I got married in Michigan, and my wife designed everything. But they played Rocky Top and we walked back down the aisle. Because I'm from Tennessee, we were getting married in Michigan. But that's because I have a connection to Tennessee. I guarantee you they played Sweet Home Alabama at our wedding in Michigan. No way they did Country Roads or they did Rocky Top. No way they did Country Roads unless I requested it, and I don't remember requesting it. You just got some voicemail?
Yeah, I've gotten five in the last 3 minutes. a couple of them. People stop hanging up. People call, like, people are calling and hanging up like they're not doing what they're supposed to do. All they have to do is actually leave a voicemail. I don't know if you understand answering machines. When the beep hits, all you do is talk, and when you're done, then you hang
the
phone.
That's different.
Up.
I think people might have gotten confused. This is not the phone line to call the show. 877-996-6369 is the phone line to call the show while we're actually on the show. Like, that's where you call if you want to talk to us live. Every other hour of the day, we're on from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 on the West Coast, 4 to 7 Mountain, 5 to 8 Central. That's the four time zones. That's when you can call live and talk to us. Every other hour of the day, the number that we have for you is 855-500-2529. That's 855-500-CLAY. All day long, like this random guy who decided to call in and tell me that Kobe and the guy who decided to email me that Kobe and Michael Jordan hate being black. That's a guy who can call in middle of the night and be like, I got a really important hot take for Clay Travis. LeBron's a better black man than Kobe and Michael Jordan. You can call and say that instead of deciding to email it. Make sense? So people are already teeing off?
Oh, yeah. There's one that...
And you got to edit it already?
Heavily. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm going to get real familiar with the beep system, like how to do that real easy on Adobe.
And then somehow you're going to screw it up, and we're going to play, like, you know, 5 minutes worth of just F-bombs, people screaming at me.
Yeah, you know me. All I do is screw up.
That's true. And you're also racist.
I'm very, 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 very racist. Apparently, we both are based on one of the voicemails.
Do you think this is the most that Kenneth Faried and Festus Ezeli have ever been discussed on National Sports Talk Radio?
Together, probably so. In my defense, they have F's in their names, and they both played important basketball in Nashville. One in the Ohio Valley Tournament, the other one played at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, this is bad excuses. Bad excuses. Okay, I teased and said I would definitely get to it. But by the way, also get Bobby Bones in here. Find out when he's got a break on his show. We need to get him in here because I hate to dunk on somebody in their area of expertise, but I think my power rankings are better than his definition of the power rankings. So go see in the next break, go see when he's got some segment that he can come in here because I'm going to have to dunk on a music guy. Hate to have to do it. I'm a sports guy. Usually I don't dunk on people in other fields, but I'm going to have to dunk on Bobby Bones here and explain why I'm right and he's wrong. But that's still to come. I also said that I was going to talk about this California law. Is there anything else that we need to get to before I talk about the California law since I've teased it for an hour?
All right. No, like you finally have run out of other stuff. You actually have to talk about it now.
It's not true. I mean, I could talk about stuff all day, I mean, and do. But so obviously we got people in all 50 states who are listening right now and also Sirius XM Channel 83. And so this is a crazy law. California, in their last legislative session, passed a law that said they are going to ban state-sponsored travel. Okay, so like state travel to any states where they disagree with some of the laws that are there having to do with gay and lesbian people. Okay? And they have given the Attorney General the power to basically review any legislation that other states pass. And if they find it to be unacceptable, then they're going to put you on the banned travel list. Now, this is crazy. This is real life. I'm not making this up. And you are not then able to travel on any kind of state-sponsored taxpayer funds. So those eight states now that California has banned travel to for state-sponsored acts are Alabama, Sweet Home Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, Kansas, Texas, and South Dakota. Eight of the 50 states. They have pointed to individual acts of legislation that they and California disagree to. And as a result, they are not allowing their taxpayer-funded state employees to travel there. This is a rule the likes of which I have never seen before. It's a law that California has passed. There are right now three games that I can think of that are big college football games that are scheduled to take place that are grandfathered in because the contracts were signed before this law was passed. Otherwise, these games would not be able to happen. UCLA is traveling to Memphis. Cal Berkeley is traveling to North Carolina to play UNC, and Fresno State is traveling to Alabama to play the Crimson Tide. Under currently existing California law, none of those three games would be able to happen. UCLA, Cal, and Fresno State would not be able to play teams that are in those eight states, not just in college football, but also in college basketball. If you enjoyed UCLA playing Kentucky in basketball, under this law that California has passed, UCLA wouldn't be able to travel to Rupp Arena to play the Wildcats. Crazily, under this law, if Cal or UCLA advance to the Final Four, it's in Texas this year in the NCAA tournament. Technically, under the law, they would not be able to travel and play in the Final Four. I'm going to continue to unpack this next segment, but I want to load up the lines. I think this is one of the most ridiculous laws that I've ever seen passed in our country. I'm talking about the sports impact, but there are so many different layers to get to here. So you know, I talked about this in the final hour yesterday. I requested somebody from the California Attorney General's office to come on. They refused. They gave me a statement. I will read that to you when we return. You are listening to Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is, I think, one of the biggest threats that we have seen to the sanctity of sports competition in America in a very long time. California has restricted sponsored travel by the state, taxpayer-funded travel by the state, to eight different other states in the country. Those eight states, a lot of you listening right now in those eight states as well as California, but those eight states are Kansas, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, and South Dakota. Right now, if games were trying to be scheduled, if the athletic director of, let's say, the athletic director of Texas suddenly called up the athletic director of UCLA and he said, you know what, we're playing USC right now. And by the way, this doesn't apply to USC or Stanford because they're private schools. But the athletic director of Texas calls up and he says, hey, UCLA, we saw you just played this home and home with Texas A&M. We'd love to play you guys in a football game in the future. Home and home. We'd like for you to come to Austin. We'd like to come up and play you guys in the Rose Bowl. That home and home couldn't be signed. Let's say that somebody in Houston or somebody in Dallas who were running either of those big football stadiums and they want to play a preseason, you know, not preseason, but early season spectacular. These neutral site games have become insanely popular, right? They call up, Jerry Jones has got his guy down at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, calls up and he says, hey, Cal, we want to set up a game between Cal and Michigan. Just like Florida and Michigan, I believe, are playing in Dallas this year. I think I'm correct in that to kick off the college football season. Cal couldn't sign that contract to play a game in Dallas in that major signature event. Say you're Jim Mora. You want to go recruit a big-time linebacker in the state of Texas. Arguably, you can't travel to Texas right now on state-sponsored funding and recruit any players in the state of Texas. Same thing is true of Fresno State. Same thing is true of all sports. I'm focused right now on football and basketball. Let's say UCLA. They're like, you know what? That game that we played against Kentucky was so incredible. We got such great response in that home and home. Kentucky got to come out to Pauley Pavilion. Everybody loved it. Big time brands early in the season, non-conference game. And then we got to go back to Rupp. We both got to play great games on the campus. Incredible atmosphere. Great event. Not allowed in the future because of this law that's been passed in California. Now, this law in California is, to me, indefensible. Because do you know where California does not ban state-sponsored travel right now? To any foreign country. Right now in California, you can get on a plane and go land in Saudi Arabia. Do you know what Saudi Arabia does sometimes to gay people, they hang them. Seriously. Do you know what they're upset about in California right now? In, for instance, Tennessee? I actually looked up the legislation that California has banned travel to Tennessee for. State-sponsored events. I said, what is this law in Tennessee that they're so offended by? What is this egregious wrong that my home state has done? And I happen to be married to a woman who's a school guidance counselor, so she knows exactly what this law is. Tennessee put into place a law which said that if somebody comes to you and they have, they're gay or transgender or some sort of issue, and you are a counselor, and you are so religious that you believe that homosexuality is a sin, you aren't obligated to be that person who is gay's counselor. You can refer them to somebody else that you think would do a better job of giving them counseling. I'm not an expert on counseling, but that doesn't seem like an egregious wrong to suggest. If you believe that because of your religious faith, you can't do a good job counseling somebody in homosexual-related issues, wouldn't you rather have that counselor refer you to somebody who would do a better job of it? I don't care if you're gay. I don't care who you sleep with, but I'm not a counselor. But if I were a young gay kid, or if I had a young gay kid, I don't want them getting counseling from an insane Bible thumper who's going to try to convince them that being gay potentially is wrong. I want them to go to somebody who understands that being gay, in my opinion, is not a choice. Now, you may disagree with that. That's perfectly within your rights. But that law in Tennessee doesn't seem like an insane law. I'm a lawyer. Lawyers get the opportunity, if somebody comes to us, we don't have to represent every single person who walks into our law office. We can choose not to represent somebody if we think we can't adequately do the best job possible. We're allowed to conflict ourselves out for any number of reasons. Now, I've represented murderers. I've represented people accused of sexual assault. I've represented people accused of all sorts of heinous crimes because that's the obligation of a lawyer. But if somebody in my family had just been the victim of a murder, and I didn't think I could adequately defend a murderer, I wouldn't be obligated to do that because I might not do the best job. So California now is in the business of scouring other states' legislation inside of their state borders and deciding, you know what, we don't agree with this, we're not going to play a football game or a basketball game or any other sport. Doesn't that just seem wrong to almost everybody out there who's listening? And we're not talking about egregious wrongs in the state laws. The one I just cited from Tennessee is a great example. California is not allowing its teams to play games against Tennessee teams because there's a Tennessee law on the books which says if you're a counselor and you are religious and you think you're going to do a bad job advising someone who is gay, you can suggest a better counselor for them. That seems like common sense. I'm kind of disgusted that you even need to pass a law for that reason. If you had a gay kid, or if you were gay, would you want somebody who believed you were committing a sin to be your advisor as you came to grips with your homosexuality? Moreover, why in the world is California in the business of scouring through other states' laws that they pass and then saying, these are bad, we're not going to let our football team play yours? See, I'm of the belief, you can call me old school in this respect, I believe that sports actually provide an opportunity for people to prove that their way of life is right. Let me give you an example. Anybody remember game between USC and Alabama that was played way back in 1970? USC came down to Birmingham, Bear Bryant's team, really good. USC beat the crap out of Alabama, 42-21. Guy by the name of Sam Bam Cunningham ran for 135 yards, two touchdowns. They already had one guy on scholarship, but after that, Bear Bryant went out and said, you know what? We can't have an all-white team anymore. We just got our ass kicked. Great quote from one of Bear Bryant's former assistant coaches. He said, Sam Cunningham did more to integrate sports in 60 minutes than Martin Luther King did in 20 years in the state of Alabama. Imagine if USC had said, we're not going to go play against a team of all white guys because we disagree with their decision. See, I'm of the belief that you don't convince people they're wrong by taking your ball and going home. You convince people you're wrong by showing them that you're right, by interacting with them. And I'm using sports as an example of why I think California passed a totally absurd law here. But I think it crosses, obviously, many other areas. Let's say that you're a UCLA grad student and you want to go to a conference in Charlotte, North Carolina, to present your study of how bilingual education has made sense in California schools and why you think it should exist nationwide. Let's say that California is doing a great job with that. Right now, you wouldn't be able to travel to North Carolina and present your findings because the state of California wouldn't give you the money to be able to travel there and present your findings. Doesn't that sound crazy? You don't convince people that you're right by isolating them and trying to exclude them from a national conversation. All you do is make the odds of any legislation you disagree with being changed go to virtually zero when you do what California is doing right now. Because I can guarantee you, right now, all the legislatures in those eight states have seen this travel ban that California has put in place. And their first thought is that, you know what? Maybe we should change the law that California disagrees with. Their first thought is, we're not going to allow these liberal lunatics out in California to tell us how to live in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, Texas, Kansas, South Dakota, North Carolina, all of the eight states where California has banned travel to. If your goal, California, is to make things better, the way to do it is not by isolating yourself from these other states. You're actually making it more likely that they aren't going to change their laws than anything else. Moreover, if you disagree with a law and you live in one of those states, you know what you have the opportunity to do? Sue and prove that that law is unconstitutional. It's not the obligation of California to decide what's appropriate and what's inappropriate in all these other sovereign states. It's the job of the people who represent those states. So if you don't like a legislative matter that the state of Texas has passed, it ain't your job, California, to suddenly come in and say, hey, we disagree with this. There's a lot of stuff in California that the other 49 states may well not agree with. There's a lot of people out there who are very conservative on drug issues. They may not like the idea that California has allowed medicinal marijuana to exist. What if they start banning travel to California over that? It's a two-way street. This is a major issue. I think sports is emblematic of why it's a major issue, but I think this is, unfortunately, a signpost of where we are in our modern era, where everything is about division, where everything is about us versus them, where places like California are passing laws like this, not to make the world a better place. Because again, you can get on a plane and fly to Saudi Arabia on state-sponsored travel in California, even though they're beheading people who have moralities that we find okay here, that they find abominable there, indefensible. I just find this to be a disaster of a decision by California. And I think it makes things worse, and I think it sets up the potential for sports, but also for life. More division instead of more coming together. The great thing about sports in our society today is that they bring us together. You may think I'm an idiot. You may be calling that voicemail line, ripping me to high heavens. But whether you're a janitor or a neurosurgeon, you probably have an opinion about who's going to be the college football national champion next year, or the Super Bowl champ, or whether Houston Rockets' decision to add Chris Paul is going to make that team better and able to contend with the Warriors. Sports are our national unification more than anything else in this country today. whether you're a Democrat, Republican, independent, whether you're pro-choice, whether you're whatever you are on any complex issue, everybody can come together on sports opinions. When I see what California did, it makes me sick to my stomach, and it makes me worry about the future of the country. It's a bad decision. Sports are involved, but unfortunately, it's going to divide us more than it's going to unite us across the board. Your reactions, I'll dive into the legality if you want me to. Any questions that you might have, I've asked the Attorney General's office from California to put somebody on to defend this law and to defend their decision to ban travel to 8 states, to defend their decision not to allow Alabama to set up a home and home with UCLA or Cal, to defend their decision not to allow UCLA to travel to Kentucky to play a basketball game. Those conversations, those trips couldn't happen today based on this law.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.